Goodman. Democracy Now! Is committed to bringing you the stories and perspectives you won't hear anywhere else. From the peace activists demanding an end to war, to indigenous leaders fighting to stop fossil fuel extraction and save the planet. Our independent reporting is only possible because we're funded by you, not by the weapons manufacturers when we cover war or gun violence, not by the oil, gas, coal, or nuclear companies when we cover the climate crisis. We count on your generous support to keep Democracy Now! Going. Please make your donation of $5, $10, or more at democracynow.org. Every dollar counts. Thank you so much. We're counting on you. Stay safe. From New York, this is Democracy Now!
These Republicans are out of touch on this issue. I don't want to take anybody's guns away. We need restrictions on assault rifles. We need wait times. We need red flag laws. I'm just tired. I'm exhausted.
Funerals are underway in Uvalde, Texas, for the 19 fourth graders and two teachers killed last week in the nation's deadliest school shooting in a decade. We'll speak to Texas State Senator Roland Gutierrez, who represents Uvalde, and confronted Texas Governor Abbott to call for a special session on guns. As questions mount over the hour it took for police to break into the classroom and kill the shooter, we'll also speak with Brandon Wolf, a survivor of the Pulse nightclub mass shooting in Orlando, Florida, where police took 3 hours to break into the gathering place of the LGBT community. 49 people were killed. It was the second deadliest shooting by a single gunman in U.S. history. Then to Colombia, where the presidential elections headed to a runoff.
Lo que se disputa hoy es el cambio.
What is in dispute today is change. The political parties allied to President Ivan Duque's government, President Duque itself, and his political project has been defeated.
Leftist candidate Gustavo Petro will face the right-wing populist Rodolfo Hernandez, who surprised many by placing second. Many have described Hernandez as Colombia's version of Donald Trump. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman in Uvalde, Texas. Funerals are underway for the 19 fourth graders and two teachers killed a week ago when a gunman attacked the Robb Elementary School with an assault rifle he purchased just days after his 18th birthday. Over the weekend, the Justice Department announced it'll review the local police response to the massacre. Authorities now admit there were 19 police officers inside the elementary school shortly after the attack began, but they decided not to confront the gunman. Instead, they stood outside the classroom for about 50 minutes. During that time, at least two students and teachers repeatedly called 911 begging for help. On Sunday, President Biden visited Uvalde, joining a memorial for the victims at Robb Elementary School before attending Mass at the local Catholic church. Biden said after the visit, he hopes rational Republicans will agree to bipartisan gun legislation. Meanwhile, Texas Democrats are demanding Republican Governor Greg Abbott take action on guns. On Friday, Texas Democratic State Senator Roland Gutierrez, whose district includes Uvalde, interrupted Abbott at a press conference there, demanding he call a special legislative session to pass new gun controls.
I don't know how to express the loss of the families that I've talked to. And I know you feel it, too. We have to do something, man. Your own colleagues are calling me, an 18-year-old shouldn't have a gun. This is enough. Call us back, man. Call us back.
Next question.
After headlines, we'll go to Uvalde, Texas, to speak with Texas State Senator Roland Gutierrez. According to the Gun Violence Archive, at least 8 people were killed and 55 others wounded in mass shootings around the United States over Memorial Day weekend. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau's proposed new gun control laws in the wake of mass shootings in the United States. On Monday, Trudeau introduced legislation that would require most owners of military-style assault weapons turn over their firearms to a government buyback program. Trudeau also announced new regulations limiting access to handguns.
What this means is that it will no longer be possible to buy, sell, transfer, or import handguns anywhere in Canada. In other words, we're capping the market for handguns. We need less gun violence. We cannot let the guns debate become so polarized that nothing gets done. We cannot let that happen in our country.
Back in Texas, thousands of protesters gathered outside the National Rifle Association's annual convention in Houston over the weekend, condemning the gun lobby group for its opposition to gun control. The NRA gathering was held just 3 days after the mass shooting in Uvalde, less than 300 miles away. On Friday evening, former President Trump read the names of the Uvalde victims before delivering a keynote address to the NRA in which he demanded federal funding for more police officers and lethal weapons in schools.
Classroom doors should be hardened to make them lockable from the inside and closed to intruders from the outside. And above all, from this day forward, every school in America should have a police officer or an armed resource officer on duty at all times.
According to the Federal Election Commission, the NRA spent over $30 million on Trump's successful 2016 presidential campaign. Other speakers at the weekend NRA convention included Republican Senator Ted Cruz of Texas, South Dakota Republican Governor Kristi Noem, and Texas Republican Governor Greg Abbott, who appeared in a pre-recorded video. Musicians Larry Gatlin, Lee Greenwood, Larry Stewart, and Don McLean canceled planned appearances after the Uvalde shooting. In eastern Ukraine, Russian forces have entered the city of Severodonetsk and are battling Ukraine's army block by block. Witnesses report as many as 200 shells are falling on the city every hour, preventing rescue crews from counting the growing number of dead. Among those killed was French journalist Frédéric Leclerc-Imhoff, who was hit by shrapnel from a Russian shell that pierced the armored evacuation vehicle he and his colleagues were riding in. Ukraine's government says at least 32 media workers have been killed since Russia invaded in February. Reporters Without Borders Director General Christophe Deloire condemned Russia for the deaths.
Absolument révoltant. It's
absolutely revolting to see that in this conflict, there has been a continuous disdain for the Geneva Convention, that civilians are being shelled, that journalists who are civilians are being shelled, even though they have the right to protection according to international law.
The European Union has pledged to impose an embargo on most but not all of the oil it imports from Russia by the end of 2022. European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen announced the emerging deal in Brussels Monday.
This is very important. Thanks to this, Council should now be able to finalize a ban on almost 90% of all Russian oil imports by the end of the year. This is an important step forward.
The EU's embargo would still exempt oil delivered from Russia by pipelines. It also grants Hungary a near-total exemption after authoritarian Prime Minister Viktor Orbán refused to cut back on Russian oil imports. Iran's military has seized a pair of Greek oil tankers in the Persian Gulf. Iran's Revolutionary Guard Corps says it took the action after Greece recently impounded an Iranian tanker and confiscated its oil, reportedly at the request of the United States, citing European Union sanctions. This comes as talks between the Biden administration and Iran aimed at restoring the 2015 Iran nuclear deal have stalled. in Brazil. At least 91 people are confirmed dead, with many more missing due to massive floods and landslides caused by heavy rains in the northeastern state of Pernambuco. Poor communities living in favelas in the city of Recife were among the most impacted, with landslides wiping away homes built on hillsides. Similar disasters have been recently reported in the mountains of Rio de Janeiro and other regions of Brazil as the country experiences more severe rainfall caused by the climate catastrophe. In Mexico, Hurricane Agatha made landfall in the southern state of Oaxaca Monday afternoon, becoming the strongest storm ever to make landfall in May in the eastern Pacific. The region, which is home to many beach towns and fishing villages, was hit with torrential rains, causing mudslides and power outages. The South Pacific island nation of Vanuatu has declared a climate emergency. Vanuatu's parliament unanimously passed a resolution Sunday introduced by Prime Minister Bob Lofman, saying the climate catastrophe is undermining the fundamental human rights of present and future generations. Speaking to parliament Sunday, the Prime Minister said Vanuatu is already disproportionately impacted by rising sea levels, devastating tropical cyclones, and other severe weather patterns triggered by the climate crisis.
The air is already too hot and unsafe. We are in danger now. Not just in the future. Catastrophic heat waves and bushfires, droughts and crop failures, and cyclones and coastal flooding are affecting Vanuatu and reaching around the globe. Coral systems are dying, and the world is now facing the sixth mass extinction in history.
In Colombia, leftist presidential candidate Gustavo Petro will face off against right-wing businessman Rodolfo Hernandez in a runoff election in June. Petro won Sunday's first election round with just over 40% of the vote, less than the majority needed to declare a first-round victory. In a surprising result, the far-right candidate Hernandez placed second. Hernandez is a real estate tycoon who once called himself a follower of Adolf Hitler. Petro is a former guerrilla member who has vowed to fight worsening inequality in Colombia with landmark policies, including a tax reform and redistribution of pension savings. His running mate is the Goldman Prize-winning environmental activist Francia Marquez Mina, who would become Colombia's first black vice president if they won. Both Petro and Mina have received several death threats throughout their campaign. We'll have more on Colombia's presidential election later in the broadcast. China's begun to ease COVID-19 restrictions in some of its largest cities. On Monday, workers in two districts of the capital, Beijing, were allowed to return to offices after authorities lifted some work-from-home rules and reopened public transit. Meanwhile, officials in Shanghai say they're preparing to lift a strict two-month lockdown on June 1st. Chinese President Xi Jinping has ruled out ending China's zero-COVID strategy, even as the nation struggles to stamp out its worst wave of coronavirus infection since early 2020. Here in New York, another prisoner at the Rikers Island jail has died. New York's Department of Corrections says 20-year-old Emmanuel Sullivan was found bleeding from the nose and unresponsive in his cell Saturday afternoon. The cause of death is reportedly under investigation. He's the 22nd Rikers prisoner to die since 2021, and the 6th Rikers prisoner to die this year. In response, community organizer Rikers Island survivor Edwin Santana said in a statement, quote, "This tragedy should show every judge, prosecutor, and elected official who's ignored this truth before. Rikers is a death sentence. We don't need plans to create plans. We need action, and that action must include releasing people from the custody of an agency that cannot or will not keep them alive," unquote. And in labor news, at least 100 Starbucks stores have formed unions across the country. The historic milestone comes after two Starbucks in Seattle and one in Birmingham, Alabama, voted to unionize last week. Starbucks executives have responded with a campaign of retaliation against union efforts. The National Labor Relations Board says more than a dozen Starbucks workers have been illegally fired, as workers at hundreds of stores have filed for union elections since December, when a Starbucks in Buffalo, New York, became the first unionized store in the United States. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman in New York, joined by Democracy Now! Co-host Juan Gonzalez in New Brunswick, New Jersey. Hi, Juan.
Hi, Amy, and welcome to all of our listeners and viewers across the country and around the world.
Well, funerals have begun in Uvalde, Texas, for the 19 fourth graders and their two teachers killed last Tuesday when an 18-year-old gunman attacked the Robb Elementary School. On Monday, funerals were held for two of the children, Mait Rodriguez and Amory Joe Garza. They were both 10 years old. Amory died while trying to call 911 as the gunman attacked her fourth grade classroom. President Biden visited Uvalde on Sunday. After stopping at a memorial for the victims at Robb Elementary School, he attended Mass at the local Catholic church where people chanted, "Do something," when he left. Over the weekend, the Justice Department announced it would review the local police response to the school shooting. Authorities have revealed there were 19 police officers inside the elementary school shortly after the attack began, but they decided not to confront the gunman. During that time, at least two students and teachers repeatedly called.
Welcome back to CKUT. It's time for a little weather. Wednesday, there will be rain and a high of 19 degrees Celsius. Thursday will be cloudy with showers and a high of 22 degrees Celsius. Friday, there will be rain and a high of 20 degrees Celsius. Saturday will be sunny with a chance of showers and a high of 20 degrees Celsius. Sunday will be mainly sunny with a high of 20 degrees Celsius. Monday will bring a mix of sun and clouds and a high of 23 degrees Celsius. Tuesday, there will be a light rain and a high of 20 degrees Celsius.
And now for some news you can use. The St. Ambrose Montreal Fringe Festival begins this week and runs until mid-June. It's an annual multidisciplinary arts festival where tickets are capped at $15 and artists receive 100% of revenues. For more information on all the shows, visit the official Fringe website. That's montrealfringe.online.red61.ca. And Community Cooks Collective is looking for volunteer drivers to deliver meals to Resilience Montreal and The Open Door. Both these organizations serve Montreal's low-income and unhoused communities. If you have a car and would like more information on how to volunteer, send a direct message to the handle Community Cooks Collective on Instagram.
Downtown Liberty. Flashing lights, they blinding me. I keep that liquor distracting me. I miss my woman, it's killing me. My world ain't your type, my life ain't your life. My fight is my fight after fight. My visions are pure, my love's on the line. Yeah, sweet sacrifice. Would you believe if I said it was true, baby? Yeah. Would you believe if I said it was you? Downtown, libertine, deep in the heart of the city. Ooh, on the streets, I'm someone else, reminded of you. My fight is my fight after fight. My visions are pure, my love's on the line.
would you believe if I said it was true, baby? Would you believe if I said it was you? I don't know how you got me still.
Yeah. It's finally time to bring back smiles, all of them. Shy smiles, carefree smiles, ear-to-ear pearly white flashers, polite smiles, nervous smiles, knowing smiles, and kind smiles. Wearing a mask is no longer mandatory in Quebec, except on public transit, in healthcare facilities, and in the days following your isolation period if you had COVID-19. Feel free to keep wearing one if you feel the need, and do it with a smile. A message from the gouvernement du Québec.
Hello there and welcome to In the Shower with Taz and Marcus, a bite-sized informative podcast aimed to be listened to while you're in the shower, but it can be listened to anywhere at all.
And we really do mean anywhere. You can listen to this while you're making a white chocolate mousse.
You can listen to it while you are bringing carrots out to your pet deer.
You can listen to it while you are riding on the back of a moose.
You can listen to it while you're cycling into Dublin City.
You can literally listen to it anywhere you want. It doesn't have to be in the shower. We're just happy that you're listening to it. Taz, what's the point of this podcast?
The whole point of this podcast is that we answer the mysteries of the world so you don't have to. Listeners send in questions they've always wondered the answer to, and we debunk them in a bite-sized format. Thus far, we've answered questions like,
how much wood would a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could actually chuck wood?
What came first, the chicken or the egg?
Why do we never see baby pigeons?
Why do we fall in love?
And loads, loads more. We have a big back catalogue of questions. Please take a look through them. Have a little binge listen. These are questions that will make you more interesting at dinner parties.
If you too have a question, you can send it to us and we'll give all those details at the end of the episode. But first, this week's question.
This week's question is a really, really good one. Comes for all the way from Dundalk in Ireland. Fiona McGiven asked it, who says, what's actually happening in your body when you get fitter? This week's question comes all the way from Fiona McGiven in Dundalk, who says, I've decided to get fit in 2018 and I've been working out really hard with everything from weights to doing Zumba. Zumba's class. And I was wondering what is actually happening inside of our bodies when we get fitter.
Nice one, Fiona. New year, new you. Am I right?
You know what? Like, I'm super interested in this one, actually. Like, I've been on the same buzz as Fiona recently, and looking into this was mega interesting, simply because there's so much to it.
Number one, you gain that sweet, sweet squat booty.
Obviously, Taz and everyone else loves a squat booty, but let's start from the start and assume that somebody who's never exercised has decided that they want to start working out, either by doing cardio like running or cycling, or resistance training which involves weights, or a combination of the two.
So what happens from the first moment that our subject steps into the gym? You know, for instance, I'm decked out in my Lululemons. I've taken my Insta story saying I'm en route to the gym. My protein balls are in hand. What's next?
Listen, those are all really, really important steps in the journey to getting fit. Like, you have to do those. But first of all, if you've led a sedentary lifestyle for a long, long time and you decide that you want to go for a run or go for, you know, a bit of weightlifting, your body is going to freak the fuck out. Now, you're going to become very short of breath very fast. Your heart will be smashing against your ribcage and you can even feel like really lightheaded and faint.
Hang on, didn't you faint when you started training again in January?
Correct, I actually did. On my first day back training, I was doing a sled push and I stood up and blacked out and fell on the ground. Like, I passed out. And according to my trainer, I let out a fart that I must have been holding in, which was so loud that people in the surrounding area of the gym actually looked scared. And like, anybody here who goes to the gym, and like, if anyone lifts weights, you know that like the protein shake farts are the worst farts you
oh
will
God,
ever do. So
Marcus.
Basically, I'd been holding one in and yeah, the world went black and...
Speaking of black, I can clarify that the noise Marx's farts make can surely be picked up in the blackness of outer space.
I reckon, you know what, people probably thought I was possessed because all of a sudden I fell and like this demonic eruption just left my body. So maybe...
you're an animal!
You know, it's the wrong kind of beast mode you want to be activating, you know?
So why does our body freak out?
So the human body is an incredibly adaptive machine. If you're not used to doing much and all of a sudden you try and lift weights or run a 5K, your body's going to do its best to keep up. Not to get too sciencey, but energy production relies on ATP and ADP. They're kind of the energy currency that our bodies rely on. And we create them through reactions involving oxygen. So when we exercise and suddenly we're using a hell of a lot more ATP than we're used to, our bodies make us take deep panic breaths in order to take in more oxygen, and our heart rate increases to circulate oxygen-rich blood around our bodies faster. If your body doesn't have the capacity to do that right away, you're going to suffer.
That sounds absolutely terrible.
I know it sounds grim, and at the start it is. But soon enough, your body catches up and you can make massive increase in your capabilities in a relatively short amount of time. Your heart gets stronger and requires less pumps to actually circulate blood around your body. Your lungs clear out mucus and create more alveoli, which transfer oxygen into your bloodstream, and your blood vessels adapt to the increased capacity and become stronger. Your cells become more adept at producing energy, and your brain function increases, leaving you more alert and awake.
What?
Yeah, that's just from, like, basic exercise.
I take it all back. That sounds great. It's true, though. Like, the human body is absolutely freakishly cool. You look after it and it'll look after you. I feel like we kind of touched on this with the hangover episodes. Our bodies are class, and if we're good to them, they'll be good to us.
Exactly. And I mean, there are an absolute mountain of benefits to aerobic training, which we'll give in a bit. But we haven't even started on what happens when you lift weights, because they're very different processes that you put your body under.
Yeah, like I've seen you lift weights and it involves a lot of grunting,
yeah.
Sweat, mm-hmm. Taking boomerangs of yourself in the gym mirrors, okay. Hashtag beast mode, hashtag gains, hashtag fit fam, hashtag Marcus comedy.
Okay, well I see there's some shade being thrown here. But to be fair, how will the people know about all the sweet iron you're pumping if you're not doing it for the gram?
Oh God. Okay, Arnie, what happens when you do weights?
Okay, so have you ever done exercise and then the next day been in absolute bits. I'm talking like you're unable to move, your muscles are exhausted, you're in legitimate agony, like you can't walk up the stairs or like wash yourself in the shower because your limbs are just bollocks, they don't work.
I know the exact feeling. I'm definitely the most unfit in my family, and every now and then my dad and my brothers always walk up Crowpatrick and I'm adamant to keep up with them, and they're all fit, they exercise regularly, and I'm trailing behind dying, and the next day is just, it's a new level.
So do you know why you have that pain?
Go on.
Your muscles literally destroy themselves.
What?
Well, they're not destroying themselves, you're destroying them and you build them back stronger.
That again sounds absolutely terrifying.
Right, hear me out. Generally the role of aerobic exercise like running or cycling is to become fitter, and the role of resistance training is to become stronger or to build muscle. What a muscle actually is it's built up of millions and millions of strands of proteins called myosin and actin, which work together to form one big muscle. When your brain sends a signal to a specific muscle to perform an action, the myosin grabs onto the actin and pulls it into the middle of what's called the myosin chain. And when all of that myosin in the muscle works together, your muscle contracts. The thing is, when you put those millions and millions and millions and millions of little strands under strain, some of them snap and become damaged. And the more strain you put on those muscles, the more of those strands you're going to snap.
So that's where the pain comes from. Your muscles are actually ripping in half. All that agony comes down from you willingly shredding your own muscles.
In short, yes. But then this is where we get another example of the human body being incredibly adaptive. The way it repairs them is fascinating. So myosatellite cells, which are basically like spare cells that are specific to myosin, that kind of hang around in muscle-dense areas, come in and rebuild the muscle stronger, denser, and richer. They literally come in and rebuild in an adaptive manner that is suitable to kind of how much effort you're putting into ripping those strands, if that Wow. makes sense. This leads to increased muscle density, which is what makes you stronger, better blood circulation in the muscle, increased central nervous system response, as in your body learns to recruit more muscle fibers to perform the same task. That's one of the most important things that happens in the first few months of training, explaining why you can increase the weight you lift quickly at first. And then you have other benefits like increased bone density, decreased resting heart rate, and there's a whole pack of other benefits.
So when you're getting fit, you're literally breaking the old bits of you to build you back stronger, fitter, and more adaptive to the increased effort you put your body under.
Early new year, new you, Fiona. So think about that.
The human body, yeah? That's incredible. That's
it's mental, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm sure you have a few other benefits of exercise.
Absolutely. Kind of like, you know, in lieu of facts towards the end of the episode, but I just have a list of benefits. This is mental. So obviously, general health and weight loss are a big factor. You sleep better. Your food gets digested faster as your body uses it for energy more efficiently, helping you deal with stuff like stubborn constipation. Your brain produces more serotonin and dopamine, elevating your mood and making you happier and more alert. The increased cranial blood flow and elevated brain function has also links to preventing diseases like Parkinson's and Alzheimer's later in life.
What? That is insane. I did not know. Why is exercise not pushed on us more? That's mad.
I don't know. That's the thing. Like, you know, I think people see going to the gym as like, oh, I want to get a six pack. These are the things we should be talking about. Like, genuinely, like this.
Preventing diseases like Parkinson's and Alzheimer's. That's huge.
Even there's links to it lowering cholesterol and preventing strokes as well later in
life.
That
is mad.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Anything mm-hmm. else?
Yeah, one last major one. Exercise leads to a massive boost in your sex drive.
Woo woo!
You know, as circulation gets better and your heart gets stronger, it kind of goes everywhere, making you. I believe the medical term that I read was more engorging of your erectile tissue.
Oh!
Yeah, which can make you feel frisky.
Sensual.
I know. Imagine whispering that in someone's ears in Coppers. My erectile tissue is engorged. it makes you a bit friskier and hornier all the time. So when you think about it, I mean, workouts lead to other workouts. And I mean, you know what? If none of the other benefits that I've mentioned get you into a gym, if that one doesn't, I don't know what will.
Hubba hubba.
Meow. Holy crap, I feel like going and doing some push-ups right now.
Me too.
It's so interesting, isn't it?
The human body is incredibly fascinating. I feel like we take it for granted because we live inside it, but it's amazing.
It's just this machine that genuinely, if you're sound to your body, it'll be sound to you.
Amen to that, sister.
Absolutely. So listen, Fiona McGiven from Dundalk, thank you so much for sending in this question. Hopefully we've answered it. And you can carry on with your Zumba and your weights and literally build a new you over the new year.
Fiona, go
absolutely,
Fiona.
That's cool.
If you are like Fiona and have a question that you've always wondered the answer to, send it in to us and we'll do our very, very best to debunk it. You can get us on social media.
Get us on Facebook at In The Share with Taz and Marcus, or if you're on Twitter, at In The Share Pod.
Otherwise, you can get us on email at intheshareapodcast@gmail.com. And even if you don't have a question and you just like listening to our podcast, please get in touch because we'd love to hear from you.
Let us know. Let's chat. Let's be pen pals. I don't feel people are pen pals enough at the moment.
They're not.
Shout out to the pen pals. A couple of thank yous to wrap up the episode. A huge thank you to all the crew at Headstuff, Paddy, Alan and everyone in the office. Thank you very much for hosting us on your wonderful network. Make sure you check out some of the other podcasts on the Headstuff Podcast Network. They're all brilliant.
Next up, a huge thank you to our amazing composer of our theme music, Mr. Dave Gertzman. You're a legend. We love your song. Thanks for giving it to us.
Do you want to give a little rendition of it for Dave?
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4. Bum to da bum da bum ba da da bum ba ba bum ba da bum ba dun da 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 bum ba 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 ba. A final thank you has to go out to the phenomenally talented Florence Robinson over in London, who has done our artwork consistently over in the Share with Taz and Marcus. So Flo, we love you very, very much. Thank you.
Next week's question, Marcus.
Next week's question is going to be a divisive one, I feel. This is going to split the boys and the girls. Comes all the way from Antwerp in Belgium from a wonderful person who messaged us on Facebook called Lydia. She says, why do men always think they are better drivers?
What a brilliant question, Lydia. That is going to be out next Monday in time for your morning shower. But in the meantime,
keep scrubbing.
This podcast is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network.
C'est enfin le retour des sourires. De tous les sourires. Le sourire timide, le franc, le fendu jusqu'aux oreilles, le poli, le crispé, le complice et le doux. Parce que le port du masque n'est plus obligatoire au Québec, sauf dans les transports collectifs, dans les établissements de santé et durant les jours suivant votre isolement si vous avez eu la COVID-19. Si vous en sentez le besoin, portez-le sans hésiter et faites-le avec le sourire. Un message du gouvernement du Québec.
This is Chard Chenier, and you're listening to the New Spins Library on CKUT.
Nothing change, it's all the same. What am I doing? Where do I go? I don't have nothing to hold on. Cannot breathe, I cannot see. so deep, so dark, that scares me.
It's not enough. Okay, I'm feeling you. I know you feel it. Instantly it was true. Wanna reveal it. Standing in front of me. One look and get it. Now every part of me needs the benefits. Seductive in every way. You ain't even trying. Hoping you will stay. Eyes nearly prying. A penny for your thoughts. Mmm, expensive taste. These feelings can't be fought. No time to waste. A flirty glance, the butterflies. Let's take a chance. Magnetic ties, the world around just melts away. With you I'm sound, it's on display. Low key, I'm feeling you. I know you feel it. Instantly it was true.
Quarters.
our candles and I called it a night, 'cause I've run out of time.
Well, that wraps up the New Spins Library for this week. Terminal 5 and the Sleepy King are coming up next. Keep on listening to CKUT.
Time to bring back smiles, all of them. Shy smiles, carefree smiles, ear-to-ear pearly white flashers, polite smiles, nervous smiles, knowing smiles, and kind smiles. Wearing a mask is no longer mandatory in Quebec, except on public transit, in healthcare facilities, and in the days following your isolation period if you had COVID-19. Feel free to keep wearing one if you feel the need, and do it with a smile. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
The National Greening Program, run by Tree Canada, is dedicated to planting seedling trees across Canada in BC, the Prairies, Ontario, Quebec, and the Atlantic. They prioritize planting on Indigenous and public lands and planting areas of natural and human-caused disturbance. The trees they plant help filter the air and water and sequester carbon, among other positive impacts. To learn more or get involved, go to treecanada.ca.
You are tuned to CKUT 90.3 in Montreal. This is Terminal 5.